Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Adi Lila, chapter 12, text 66. Malidatta jaladaita shkanda jogai. Shei jale jie shaka. Fulla fulla pai. Mali datta jala daita shkandha jogai. Shei jale jie shaka. Fulla fulla pai. Translation. The Advaita Acharya branch received the water supplied by the original gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, the sub-branches were nourished and their fruits and flowers grew luxuriantly. Purport. The branches of Advaita Acharya nourished by the water, jal, supplied by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are to be considered bona fide acharyas. As we have discussed herein before, the representatives of Advaita Acharya later divided into two groups, the bona fide branches of the acharyas' disciplic succession and the pretentious branches of Advaita Acharya. Those who followed the principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu flourished, whereas the others who are mentioned below in the 67th verse dried up. On this auspicious day of Advaita Saptami, we shall discuss Advaita Katha. Maybe if people hear the word Advaita Katha, they think that we're going to talk about how to become one with God. Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about. Becoming one with God. As Advaita Acharya, being the Acharya, he demonstrated how to become one with God by being one in interest with Krishna, not this bogus Mayavad idea, or we can just say Mayavad means bogus, idea that we become in all respects one with the Supreme, which is a ridiculous idea because everything the Mayavadi says and does disproves his theory that everything is one by using words. They're different words. They're not all the same. For instance, just by existing, he disproves. There's actually nothing to disprove. It's something like, say, rabbit's horns. It's just not existent. Rabbit's horns, flowers growing in the sky, castles in the air, in the English idea. Was it Bengali? They say horses' eggs. So, shall we disprove that horses don't lay eggs? There's no need to. It's said, if you want to say that someone's talking nonsense, you say horses' eggs. It's just nonsense, that's all. Anyway, this is the world of nonsense, so it's a popular theory. And Advaita Acharya came to disprove that, to show the real meaning of oneness means no other thought. Anyabhilashita shunyam. This is the shunya. We are shunyavadis. Advaitavadis. Advaitavadis means we follow Advaita Acharya. Shunyavadi means no other desire than to serve Krishna. Otherwise, Advaita Katha, what are you going to talk about? We hear Gaura Katha. There's something to talk about, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Katha, Krishna's pastimes. Now, in North India, it's coming up Sai Katha. At least there's something to talk about. It's all nonsense, but imitatively, they've made Sai Baba into Bhagavan, they think. These are all the kind of nonsense things that come out when we don't follow Advaita Acharya as he is. Now, this verse that I read today comes in the chapter which describes the expansions of Advaita Acharya. And it's just been described the names of prominent devotees in the line of Advaita Acharya. And in this verse, it describes how it's all allegorical, how Advaita Acharya is the trunk of a tree, and there are his branches, which gave fruits and flowers, taking water from the original gardener, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In other words, they flourished, those who followed Advaita Acharya. And then after this, it's described in a few verses. Iha modde mali pache kono shakhagon namane chaitanya mali durdaiba karon. After the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of the branches, for unfortunate reasons, deviated from his path. This is specifically talking about the branches of Advaita Acharya. Shrijailo jiailo tare namanilo kritagga hoila tare shkonda kruddha hoilo. Some branches did not accept the original trunk that vitalized and maintained the entire tree. When they thus became ungrateful, the original trunk was angry at them. Kuddo heya shkonda tare jal nashon chare jolabhabe krishya shaka shukaya more. Thus Lord Chaitanya did not sprinkle upon them the water of his mercy, and they gradually withered and died. Chaitanya rahit deha shushka kashta sham jibite mrittase moile dondejam. A person without Krishna consciousness is no better than dry wood or a dead body. He is understood to be dead while living, and after death he is punishable by Yamaraj. So there's a what's that called? Play on words here. Chaitanya rahit deha, a body without Chaitanya, a body without life. Or here means the body without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kebal e gon prati nahe e danda Chaitanya bimuk jay sheto pashanda. not only the misguided descendants of Advaita Acharya, but anyone who is against the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be considered an atheist, subject to be punished by Yamaraja. Ki pandit, ki tapashi, ki bagrihi jati, Chaitanya bimuk jai tar ei goti. Be he a learned scholar, a great ascetic, a successful householder, or a famous sannyasi, one who is against the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is destined to suffer the punishment meted out by Yamaraj. Jai jai loilo Sri Achyutanandar mot Shai Acharya Gon Mahabhagavat. The descendants of Advaita Acharya who accepted the path of Sri Achyutananda were all great devotees. Shai Shai Acharya Kripa Abhajan Onay Ashe Pailo Shai Chaitanya Charan. By the mercy of Advaita Acharya, the devotees who strictly followed the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attained the shelter of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet without difficulty. Achute jay mot, shay mot tasha, ar jato mot shab hoilo charaka. It should be concluded, therefore, that the path of Achyutananda, one of the sons of Advaita Acharya, is the essence of spiritual life. Those who did not follow this path simply scattered. So he's describing here bona fide followers of Advaita Acharya and others who did not follow him, who had the opportunity to do so, but did not, including some of his sons. Some of his sons followed him properly, and others didn't. So to understand Advaita Acharya, we have to understand through the bona fide Acharyas. While discussing Advaita Acharya Ishwaram, Srila Prabhupada discussing the position in Mayapur one year, Srila Prabhupada discussing the position of Advaita. He elaborated on what it means to be an Acharya. This is necessary to understand. As particularly words which are prominent in Shastra are very much misused. Words like Acharya, Guru, Bhagavan, Bhakti. These words tend to become misused by people who are envious of the real message of Shastra, which is to surrender to Krishna. And of course, it's mostly Indians who are doing this because they have access to Shastra. The pious land of India. Pious means they have some inclination to follow the Vedic culture. It doesn't mean they're necessarily all pure devotees. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in India. We wouldn't be anywhere in the world. We wouldn't be here at all. We'd be in the spiritual world. So piety is a kind of cheating by which one tries to get the benefits given by God in this world without surrendering to Him. Something like the monkey who tries to catch the bananas and not get caught himself. You hold out the banana. The monkey's stolen something, stolen your glasses. Hold out the banana. And the monkey pretends to give the glasses back and just grabs the banana and doesn't give the glasses back. So that's piety. Cheating. Kaitava dharma. You do what you need to do to get what you want, but you don't do what the giver of Shastra, Bhagavan, wants you to do. You're trying to cheat him. So, after the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were so many cheaters who came in the name of following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Bengal especially, because the people there are confronted with the fact of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's in their midst. His impression was tremendous. Wherever he went in Bengal after accepting sannyas, crowds of people would follow him. Not in other places. We don't find that description so much in other places. He traveled all over South India. But we don't hear about crowds of people following him. People in Bengal were particularly attracted to him. Everyone's attracted to Krishna. Even the demons are attracted to Krishna. So many demons would come to kill Krishna. They thought they would come to kill Krishna. They were attracted. They weren't going to kill. There were so many people in India at that time also. Actually, the population of India was more then. Otherwise, where did the billions and trillions of bodyguards for Ugrasena come from? So they could have attacked anyone, but they came specifically to attack Krishna. The demons are also attracted to Krishna. Shishupal, he was always thinking of Krishna. He could have just not bothered with him. Just, okay, Krishna's there in Dwarka and I'm here. Chedi Raj. Where is that? Where is that? Chedi kingdom? Anyone know? Any? We should have a teaching in the Gurukul, Puranic geography. But he was so attracted to Krishna, he couldn't stop thinking about him at any time. So in the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made such a big impression in Bengal, and persons who are there who are especially envious, they, instead of opening their hearts and letting themselves become attracted to him, they disparaged him in various ways and tried to show that he is insane. Otherwise, what is this, jumping around all the time? Insane. Actually, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching, to become insane in the eyes of the world. If what here is considered sanity, better to be insane. And particularly, unmadavan nrityati lokabaiha, to dance and sing and cry, apparently madly, without caring about what all these mad people think. So they would say he's insane, or a destroyer of Hindu religion. That was said even in his presence. About his followers, they say he's no philosophy, just not very scholarly. It's all just sentimentalism. So in various ways, up to the present day, people try to detract Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Acharya. The descriptions are given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Advaita Acharya's joking with Nityananda Prabhu. It's specifically stated that it's joking. But the overly intelligent mundane scholars, they try to make an issue out of it, that Advaita actually didn't like Nityananda. They disliked each other. They hated each other. But out of affiliation to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they had to get on somehow or other. But they were always breaking out into arguments. Even when Nityananda came to the house of Advaita and Advaita was feeding him, then Advaita said that, first of all, Nityananda criticized Advaita that you said he gave a huge feast. And Nityananda said, this is not enough. What is it? I'm so hungry, and you didn't give enough. So in other words, he's joking, you gave so much, and he's joking it's not enough. And then Advaita says, oh, what have I done? I invited you to my home. No one knows who you are, where you came from. I've lost my caste. You have to be very careful in Vedic culture, especially the brahmanas have to be very careful not to eat with or even have in your house anyone who is going to bring your status down. I don't know if that's still going on, but until recently, here in Tamil Nadu, the brahmanas, they wouldn't allow, just like the barber comes to shave you, you go outside the house to get shaved. The barber doesn't come inside, doesn't contaminate the house. So Advaita Acharya particularly was a kulin brahmana. There are brahmanas and there are kulin. Means not ordinary, but the highest caste. Of course, that one king of Bengal, he converted all of Bengal except the brahmanas into shudras. You're all shudras. So Advaita Acharya was very high class brahmana, even among brahmanas. Of course, all the brahmanas that I've spoken to who are caste conscious, which means all of them, if you ask what they say, yeah, we're the very high class brahmanas. And those ones, they're not really brahmanas at all. They all say that about each other. So Advaita Acharya, clearly he wasn't concerned about this casteism. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings are on the platform of the soul, not on the platform of the body. That's the very first teaching of Bhagavad Gita. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his teaching from that point. Jibeshwarup hoy Krishna Nitya Das, the eternal constitutional position of every living being is as a servant of Krishna. So not this body, not any body, not any material body. So Advaita Acharya was clearly not concerned with this. He offered the Shraddh Patra to Haridas Thakur. Now, if we try to consider the significance of this, performing Shraddh, the ceremonies for one's departed forefathers, one has to feed brahmanas. And one will try to get the best possible brahmanas to get the best possible pious effect. And high-class brahmanas, they don't go at all for taking Shraddh. There are a class of brahmanas who do that, and they're considered lower to do so. At least in my experience, because there are so many different Brahmin communities all over India. You're nodding your head there. Is that your experience also from being from a high class, smarter Brahmana family? That's also there. They can go to the office and work and do a job and do the shvavriti, the profession of a dog, but they won't eat in a Shraddh ceremony. So one should try to get the best brahmanas one can, and Advaita didn't call any brahmanas. He called Haridas Thakur, who was born in a Muslim family. That's about the most radical rejection of caste consciousness possible. If you try to think of something which is rejecting Brahmanism by birth, there couldn't be anything more than this, to call a Muslim by birth. Of course, Haridas Thakur. It's actually not known what his birth is or even where he was born, although someplace Burdhana is now in, used to be in Jeshore district, but they cut up the districts. The old Joshaha district is said to be, but it's not clear where he was born. It's not even clear that he was born in a Muslim family. There's some people say, actually he was born in a Brahmin family, but he was raised by Muslims. Whatever, he's known in Bengali Vaishnavism as Jobon Haridas, Muslim Haridas. Not a Muslim, but said to be. So, to invite such a person to sanctify one's forefathers, it's just unimaginable. By doing so, one should surely send them to the darkest hell and oneself also, according to the smarter theories. But Haridas Thakur recognized that Haridas Thakur is the greatest of all saintly people above even the platform of a brahmana, because he's always chanting the holy names. He is the Nama Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gave the post of Nama Acharya. Gave the post means the title, Nama Acharya to Haridas Thakur, who personified Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Trunadapi sunichena tarori vasahishna amanina amandadena kirtaniya sadahari. Such humility. He would even when he was called by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would never eat with him. He'd always stay outside. Such tolerance. He tolerated blasphemy. He tolerated beating. He never promoted himself. And he always chanted the holy names. So, Advaita Acharya recognized Haridas Thakur that at every moment, Ahobata Svapachoto Gariya Nyadjiva Grevartate Namatu Bhyam Tepas Tapas Te Juhuvu Sasnar Arya Brahmanucha Namagrinanti Ye Te. At every second, at every moment, because you're always chanting the holy names, even though some people may say he's born in a lower family, but every moment you are visiting all the holy places, you are reciting all the shastras, performing all the prescribed austerities. So Advaita Acharya was radically against caste consciousness, but up to the present day, the devotees in his family line, the Advaita Vansha, there is a tension between them, or historically was. It's probably died out now, just like the tension between here in South India, between the Vardagalai and Tengalai, that's died out. Why is that? Did they come to any agreement? No, they all just lost their enthusiasm for serving the Lord. They're more interested in playing cricket, for instance. So it's died down, the tension between them, because they don't care that much about all these philosophical issues that they used to care about, and probably most of them don't even know what the issues are. But traditionally, the Advaita Vansha thought, well, we're very high class, and they'll only give initiation to caste people. And Nityananda Vansha, they'll give initiation to everyone. Nityananda Prabhu himself was very broad in going door to door and lifting up achandale prema den. He would give love of Krishna even to the most fallen people. Advaita Acharya himself, we find the description in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that when Advaita Acharya first discovered Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which means that Nimai was in Navadvip, and Advaita Acharya's house was in where? In Shantipur. That's right. But he also had a house in Navadvip. He had two houses. So Advaita Acharya was sometimes in Navadvip also. Although generally it's known as, he's known as Shantipuranath by such names. So when Nimai was there in Navadvip, and Advaita was also, we hear the description of Vishwarup, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's elder brother, would regularly go to the house of Advaita Acharya and become corrupted by him in Shachimata's mind to want to become a sadhu, because Advaita Acharya would discuss topics of Krishna. And sometimes little Nimai, baby Kokanitai, baby Nitai, would go to on Shachimata's order to call Vishwarup, come for lunch, and the little boy would come in. In those days, as until recently, infant boys, they would toddle around naked, except for their Kati Sutra, the little string on their waist. So already the devotees who were present with Advaita Acharya were charmed by Vishwarupa, and even more so when they saw this little toddler boy come to call Vishwarupa for lunch. So Nimai was there in Navadvip, but he wasn't recognized as the Supreme Personality of Godhead or even as a devotee, because he covered that up by his yoga maya. He didn't, he didn't let even his devotees know that he was the Supreme Lord and he was performing pastimes of scholarship. But eventually, he revealed himself to all the devotees and to Advaita Acharya that, "You are the one who brought me here, remember? You called me from Golok. I was peacefully sleeping on the milk ocean and you called me and told me to come." So Advaita Acharya, when he accepted, he told this Vishvamba that, "Okay, I called you. You have to give Krishna prema even to the lowest, most fallen, most sinful." That's the order he gave. So this idea that Advaita is only for the very high-class people, it's not borne out by Advaita's example himself. He spurned the stereotype of respectable Brahmanism and showed that the real dignity of anyone, whether they're just like that, what is it, Kiba Pandit, Kita Pasvi, Ki Pandit, Ki Jyoti, this, we just read this, whatever you are, unless one is a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's all useless or worse. So this, we should learn this. We're not just listening here to nice stories. They are very nice stories, no doubt. But Advaita Acharya, the Acharya, everything he does is for our instruction, to instruct us. Instructing acharis tapyatyapi. The acharya, by his very behavior, he establishes the principles of shastra. Achinoti yashastrani acharis tapyatyapi. Swayam acharate yasmad acharyastena kirtitaha. An acharya is one who knows the actual message of shastra and teaches the actual message of shastra by practice and precept, by his actions and by his instructions. So we should be cognizant of this, that Advaita Acharya, he was prepared to be rejected by the whole Brahmana community. Even to talk to a Muslim, as Haridas Thakur was considered. Actually, he was a Muslim, his best Muslim, because Muslim means surrender to God. So the Vaishnavas, they're the best Muslims. Even to talk to someone Muslim, that would be highly questionable. And if you made a habit of it, then you would be ostracized, which is not just a matter of shunning people, but you'd be thrown out of your caste. That means, where do you go? What do you do? You have no place in civilized society. Then you have to become, you have to join the chandalas. That's the only thing left. There's nowhere to go. Anyone who's ejected from his caste, of course there can be temporary ejection, but full-scale ejection means you have nowhere to go but to join the chandalas who are pulling various types of chandalas. Some will be carrying dead bodies, some will be taking out dead cows, eating the flesh, making shoes and different things out of them. There's nothing else to do. And so it's very heavy risk that of one's whole life becomes spoiled, and even to be accused of such a thing, it can diminish one's status. It's a commonly done thing that people, they spread some rumors about someone, which are not true, to make them look bad in the eyes of others. This particularly happens to people who are praised by others, who are respected by others, that envious people, they will make some story about them and try to diminish the respect that people accord to them. So when we're studying Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we should be conscious that one major point to understand is that we're studying or hearing about a highly caste-conscious society. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings that Krishna bhajane nahik jat adi jat kuladi bicha. In the worship of Krishna, there is no consideration of what it jat or kul, or what in English is called caste. There's no consideration whatsoever. In fact, it turns upside down the standard consideration. Nicha jate nahe Krishna bhajane ajoga, shatkul vipra nahe bhajane joga, je bhaje she boro abhakta hino cha, Krishna bhajane nahi jatkula adi bicha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sanatana Goswami, who was deprecating himself, I'm unfit to serve Krishna, because I'm so fallen. I was serving the, I became a Muslim, practically. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught him the right philosophy that to be born in a low family is not a disqualification for serving Krishna. And simply to be born in a high family is not a qualification. Whoever worships Krishna, whatever their background, is a great personality. And who doesn't, whatever their background, they're the most fallen and wretched. So this is important to understand, particularly here in India. In the West, it doesn't make any difference. Everyone's just hogs wallowing in stool and happy to do so, practically. Almost. In fact, was that in a conversation of Prabhupada? Or someone was telling me, there was some rock group, they used, someone called them pigs, and then they brought a bunch of pigs into their concert, and they would go and play with them in their concert to show, yes, we are pigs, and happy to be pigs. But here in India especially, there's still going on caste consciousness. Of course, in every society, there is consideration of prestige, even among the cows. You know, those who are looking after cows, maybe there's a prestige. Who's the senior cow and who's the more junior? So that's there. Especially in India, I find there's a consideration of class, caste, prestige, status. People, when they meet each other, they have to work out. They understand what caste they are. What is your educational level? What is their income level? By their clothing, they try to understand how wealthy they are. And if they find out that they're wearing clothes above their status, that also goes against them. They're pretending. If a poor man wears shabby clothes, he's looked down as a poor man. If he wears expensive clothes, somehow gets the money together, then they look down on him more. See, you're trying to be more than you are. Apiti. There's a word in English. Apiti. So, I think those of you who are Indian can attest to this. That's my observation after so many years in this part of the world. Everyone's, when they meet, they which box can I put them into? And am I higher or lower? If they're higher than me, I'll be envious of them. If they're on the same level, I'll try to put them down. And if they're lower than me, I'll stomp on their head. That's the outlook. So much envy. People are always conscious of their position and prestige. Now, in Krishna consciousness, there's also a hierarchy that's required in any society. If everyone's all equal, well, it just doesn't work. Everyone's all equal. So what to do? Some job has to be done. The temple has to be cleaned. Okay. So we're all equal, so everyone has to do it. No, we're all equal, so no one does it. If we're all, it's all Mayavad then. No, one person tells someone else, you do it, and they do it. That means the one person is higher than the one who's giving the instruction is higher than the one who takes the instruction. Communism can't work because there has to be someone who's organized, managerial class. There was the managerial class in communism who decided what to do and implemented the doing of it. There was the managerial class. And if you don't want to go along with that, then there's the police class. And the prison class, and the firing squad. So there's hierarchy is required, but on the other hand, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, even though Krishnadas Kaviraj himself talks about this devotee was a very great devotee, this devotee was very prominent, but before giving the list of names, he says that I'm giving the names, but we should understand there's no real higher or lower. All are devotees of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada often said that the pujari, that's a very prestigious position, to be a pujari. He especially liked to be seen offering the arati when there are many people present to see the pujari on the altar. Not so enthusiastic to do aratis when there's no one around. But especially when there are many and everyone can see, I'm the pujari. But Prabhupada, he said that the pujari and the one who's cleaning the floor, they're on the same level, because all service to Krishna. But still, a hierarchy is required. And because people are foolish, then we have sannyas. Because people are foolish, they think they can't recognize who they should take instruction from, who they should follow. So sannyas is awarded so that neophyte devotees can offer respect to devotees who are in the role of instructing them. So for this reason that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, because people, they didn't, he had an important message to give them, but they didn't treat him properly. They didn't recognize him. So they couldn't recognize his spiritual quality, so he took on a material quality of sannyas. It's a material arrangement. So people respected him for that. Sometimes within our modern ISKCON, there's the idea we should all our devotees should be highly educated and get well-paying jobs, and then people will respect us more. And then we can preach more about how, what are we going to preach? That all this status and prestige and money and career is all useless. Well, we can't, becomes a quandary, doesn't it? So there is position and prestige and power within the Krishna Conscious Movement also. And foolish and wicked people may be attracted to enhancing their position and prestige and power in the name of Krishna Consciousness. But those who are genuine followers of the Acharya, they may accept these facilities for the sake of preaching Krishna Consciousness, but they instill in those whom they are teaching that this position and prestige and power, that's not what it's all about. That's an external arrangement which we follow. That's also there in the spiritual world. But it's not about promoting oneself to be very great and showing oneself to be better than others. Everyone should consider himself dasanu dasanu das. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. Even though he was respected by everyone within his community and many not within his community, Advaita Acharya respected him. Ek Mahaprabhu or Prabhu Duijan Dui Prabhu Shive Mahaprabhu Charan. There is one Mahaprabhu, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and two Prabhus, Advaita Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And the two Prabhus, they serve the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is respected by everyone when he comes to teach us that what is important is not getting a position. That's a materialistic consideration. If one is judging materially, how I can get a good position, how I will be respected. It means that one never even began the process of Krishna consciousness. Or maybe it's Krishna consciousness, something like Shishupal's Krishna consciousness. There may be consciousness of Krishna, but it's not anukulyena Krishna anushilanam. This anukul, favorable service of Krishna begins with sharanagati, anukulyasya sankalpa, with understanding that I am meant only for atma nikshepa, throwing myself fully, unreservedly into Krishna's service, with not retaining any material conceptions. So as long as we retain this idea of caste and status and prestige and position and power, then we'll never transcend material consciousness. Of course, there are material considerations also. Householders, in getting their children married, devotees also, they generally consider caste because of why invite unnecessary deprecation from the relatives. So they may do and not be blamed for that. But intrinsically, if we identify with the role that comes with this body, then we're in bodily consciousness, which is not Krishna consciousness. First thing we have to understand, we're not the body. So with every body comes a role. One who is born in a certain caste, he's expected to act according to the dictates of the caste, to dress in a certain way. This, particularly at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, again, this is very strong too. One has to dress in a certain way, interact with other castes in a certain way, perform a particular occupation, and so on. Everyone is expected to play a role, and people judge others according to the role that they play. Role is also used in drama, that you're playing. What role are you playing in the drama? So it's just like that. Life is but a stage. We're all just playing different games, but we take it very seriously. That I am a brahmana, I am a chandal. As a chandal, I have to be most degraded. Otherwise, the other chandalas, they'll disrespect me. No one respects a chandala, but even within their society, a chandala who doesn't eat meat, who's not gross in his behavior, who's not dirty, what's wrong with them? Yeah, they have to play the role to be accepted within the society. And we are all very much concerned about being accepted by others. We're so much concerned. What will people say about me? People live for Facebook likes. And if they don't get, they'll become depressed. I wasn't noticed. I got disliked. Oh, they'll be very careful. They want to. They make a profile. So we're all doing that. There are sadhus who reject all of this. They go to the forest, get away from the whole human society. All this nonsense, playing different games of, I am a brahmana, I am a kshatriya, I am a rich man, I am a poor man, I am a widow, and so on and so on. Just get away from it all. Just leave all that behind. Or become an avadhut, like Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, means you don't follow any of these rules. Just forget it all. Just take some cloth from the crematorium and live on no house to live in. Just beg some rice and soak it in Ganga water, and that's your meal. And respectable people come to see you and you're very harsh with them. Anyone asks you for initiation, you beat them. You don't even reply to them. You just beat them with an umbrella, because people are always giving umbrellas to sadhus. So Gaur Kishore would keep one for beating people with. So we've heard. But then what happens is, even in that role, people take it as a role. Oh, he's a sadhu, very great sadhu. So people will come for his blessings. Or they'll come to imitate him and pretend that they're also renounced Babaji's. So one day, Gaur Kishore, he arrived in the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, dressed in the finest clothes, expensive clothes, just like a worldly dandy, Babu. And everyone was shocked. What's going on? He said, it's better to be a worldly, materialistic enjoyer than to be a Babaji like me and have illicit relations with women. So he was, he did that to show that he was making a lesson against the cheating so-called Babaji's who imitated him as a ploy to enjoy the Vaishnavis. The Vaishnavi means widow, rejected woman, woman who's been, she's married but she has an illicit affair, she's thrown out of the home. So she becomes a Vaishnavi. And the Vaishnavas, they go with the Vaishnavis. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji protested that. Said, you want to cast me, you want to cast me in a role. Yeah, he's a Babaji, he's like that. Okay. And they put him in a box. There's a Brahmin box, the Kayasta box, and Muslim box. And what box is that? Okay, put him in the Babaji box. Okay, he's like that. And then we can forget him and not have to bother about him. We want to categorize everyone within our materialistic categories. But he rebelled against that. So Advaita Acharya, he was a rebel against the social order. Was he? Well, not really. He was a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But to be a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means that one gives up interest in anything of this world. Why should one be interested in power, prestige, position, money, sutamita ramani samaj, society, friendship, love? Why should be interested in these? Why should one be interested in all these things when one has got the gift of Krishna consciousness? Sanatan Goswami had the touchstone, the most valuable thing in the world. Where did he keep it? In the garbage. The most valuable thing, materially considered, is simply garbage. And tyaktvar turnama shesha mandala pati shrinin sudha tuchabat. Giving up all the six Goswamis, they gave up the association of aristocratic people, gave it all up, and just considering it insignificant because they had gopi bhava risam ritabdi lahari kalola magno muhur. They were again and again diving and surfacing in the waves of the ocean of gopi bhav, the loving feelings of the gopis. So followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're not consciously rebels or social reformers or any such thing. They only aspire for Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kurute Anuraga, to have firm devotion, attachment to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But to do that in and of itself means to go against the whole tide of the world, because the whole tide of the world is viraga, renounced, renouncing the wrong thing. They're renouncing Krishna. So Advaita Acharya, necessarily, by being the Acharya of Krishna consciousness, necessarily he became against everything of this world. And now here in this series of verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find that some of his followers, they continued to follow, and they became known as worthy followers. And some of them didn't, although they claimed to be followers of Advaita Acharya, but they are rejected by the actual followers. And who's to say what's actual and what's not? Who will say? Who is the proper follower? Obviously, at this time, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was writing this, there was some tension there between different groups of people claiming to follow Advaita Acharya. Not all his sons strictly followed him, although they would say that they were following him. Advaita Acharya, to follow him, not very easy to go against the whole caste consciousness, to literally embrace people who are untouchable. Even if their shadow touched your shadow, you would become polluted. You'd have to go and take a bath and do ritualistic purification. What to speak of embracing them? It's very difficult to go against the whole society. So not all of his sons did that. Some of them preferred to be regular, respectable, smarter brahmanas. And we can imagine that they said, no, actually we're following. But you see what he did, what our father did, he could do that. But we shouldn't imitate. We shouldn't do that. That was pointed out in one article in the Gaudiya magazine of the Gaudiya Mart, that sometimes the devotees of the Gaudiya Mart would say to people that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed to follow the principles of Bhakti Sadacha. You're not following, you're simply crying and weeping, rolling on the ground. And they would say, crying, weeping, rolling on the ground, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. They would imitate his ecstasy. And when the real devotees would say, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, see, we should follow, you see, we follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, rolling on the ground, weeping in imitative ecstasy in their case. When they say, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't eat fish. Oh, that was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's so great. We can't follow that. We're ordinary human beings. So what they should follow, they don't follow in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what they shouldn't follow, well, they also quote Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in this way completely inverse everything that they should be doing. So in the same way, we can understand that there must have been so much tension at that time, saying, no, we're actually following, you see, that Varnashram, this is in the Shastra, they quote Shastra, we're the real followers, You're just imitating. We have the same kind of thing today. There are different people who claim to follow Srila Prabhupada, and somebody, oh, Srila Prabhupada, he used to speak like that and call the Mayavadis nonsense. But you can't do that. You can mix with them, which he said not to do, but you can't call them rascals. Don't call anyone a rascal. Prabhupada said to call them rascals. Well, you shouldn't do. So you don't understand. Time, place, and are very expert in making various arguments. It's difficult to follow Advaita Acharya. It's difficult to follow Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada necessarily, because he preached the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as did Advaita Acharya, he went against the whole society. His aim was not to be a rebel or a critic, but it automatically comes. If we say that one should surrender to Krishna, then along with that statement is implied that we should give up everything which is not surrendering to Krishna. If we say that we should follow the path of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's implied that we don't do anything else. Srila Prabhupada, he gave a difficult path to follow of not intimately associating with non-devotees, of not accepting their standards, of not accepting what they consider to be right and what they consider to be wrong. It's difficult to follow. You go your whole life without watching TV, dressing in clothes which are suitable for a Vaishnava, not for a sense enjoyer, wearing tilak, in so many different ways, we invite the criticism of others by following Srila Prabhupada. So it's easier to say that actually we're following, but, and then you bring in but, and then you know it's bogus, as soon as they bring in but. It's a very revealing word. As soon as someone says, yes, we like to, I will surrender to Krishna, but when Krishna tells me. Rascal, he's telling you at every moment. Savadhaman paritya, but you are namang duskrishna murha. Me, I'm not more. I'm very respectable. Yeah, not according to Bhagavad Gita. Then you have to tell people, if you speak the message of Krishna, yes, you should surrender to Krishna. I'll do so when he tells me. Oh, okay, very nice. No, not okay. Oh, you're mentioned. Do you know you're mentioned in Bhagavad Gita? Krishna talks about you. Really? About me? Yes. Namang diskurhiro murha prapadyante naradhamaha maya parhitagyana asurang bhavamashrita. You're clearly mentioned by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. So history repeats itself, as the saying goes. And as the saying goes, another saying, the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. So Advaita Acharya, son of his sons, they deviated, they're not proper followers. And we can expect that, and practically we're seeing that at the present time. There are those who call themselves followers of Srila Prabhupada while they're messing up his whole mission in the name of following him. So we shall pray on this day to Advaita Acharya for strength. Narottam Das prays to Advaita Acharya for strength. Dhan more, Nityananda, my wealth is Nityananda. Pati more, Gaurachandra, my Lord and Master is Gaurachandra. Pran more, Jugalakishwar, my very life is Radha and Krishna. Advaita Acharya Bal, my strength is Advaita Acharya. So we can pray to him for strength. Gadadhara Morakul, my family is Gadadhara. And Narahari, what is it? Bilashaimur, and my pleasure is Narahari. Narahari Adi, Narahari, the Sharka, the Narahari Adi Kari Chamur Dulai, this Narahari. So especially Narottam Das has taught us to pray for strength to Advaita Acharya, who had the strength of mind, strength of conviction to stand against the whole society in his conviction to serve the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we shall pray for strength to serve Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. What's the rest of the program this morning? Oh, was it announced? Does anyone remember? Yeah, please tell me. Bhajans from 10 to 11? Then? What time? 11:30. 11:30, okay. All right. Okay. Can you say that again in Tamil? For the devotees in the Prasadam Hall. Hare Krishna. We'll finish that. Any question? Yeah.
One of the first things we learn when we come to Krishna consciousness is instruction given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Asat Sangat Tyaga.
Yeah, one of the first things we learn when we come to Krishna consciousness, Asat Sangat Tyaga, e Vaishnavacha, because so much emphasized to the devotees have to give up the association of non-devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also instructed sthane sthita shrutigatang tanuvang manam. One should remain in one's position and prosecute Krishna consciousness. So are these two contradictory? Sounds contradictory. Well, the most important point there is shrutigatang tanuvang manobhi, to dedicate one's life fully in the service of Krishna. That's the main point. By saying sthane sthita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says you don't have to leave home, you don't have to become a sannyasi, as was, of course, this is Brahma's instruction, or is it's not required to make any massive change in one's material situation, because that in itself can be very disturbing. If necessary, one may do so. Yeah. We never stay in our sthan. Whatever it is, we have to change. We won't stay in the same body. Stay in our position, but at the same time, in executing Krishna consciousness, that means that we dedicate our life in serving Krishna. So if one is a householder with a job, for instance, then one will interact with others only as much as necessary for fulfilling one's material duties, not anymore. Can be difficult. If you work in a job, then you may be expected to go to the parties connected with that and so on. Then anything else? Yeah.
During the course of distributing your books, traveling from here to there, sometimes people come and ask that, say that you are very strict. And
sometimes people say that I'm very strict.
So is it that they are putting you in the role and respond?
Yeah, he put me in the strict box and let him stay in his box and I'll be somewhere else. Yeah. That's all right for him. Now we have to see. Are we? I don't consider myself very strict. I'm just trying to follow the basic things that Srila Prabhupada taught us. We're not going to go back to Godhead by fooling around in this material world. It's not going to happen. We're going to have to seriously take to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if we give the idea that you just go to a kirtan mela every so often, and the rest of the time you more or less do what you like, then what Srila Prabhupada came to teach will be lost, will be compromised. Everything becomes watered down. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Oh, okay. One more question coming in online.
Considering the fact that
casteism is considered a bane in today's world, how will it be possible to practically establish Varnashram? It's a big topic. Come and join our farms, if you're serious to understand. We'll tell you all about it on the farm. Or be a Brahmana in the city temple, living ideal life, teaching others. That's only one varna. For all the varnas, we need to go to make our own communities. That was Srila Prabhupada's idea, that we make our own communities to demonstrate varnashram. Hare Krishna.